You know what one of my favorite conversational tools is? When you're telling somebody a story and then you get lost down a track and you go, anyways, I digress. I feel like that's what my hood represents today. Anyways, I digress. I kind of feel like crap. My kids were being kids and they had a germ and, like they breathe and stuff and they get close to my face and I'm like, don't drink out of my cup, which then inherently makes them want to drink out of my cup. And now I have tried to put together some form of collective sleep over the past 100 hours. And boy, do I want to be here today on No Breaks with Jamie Erdahl. That's the spirit. Jacko! It's a Jacko Wednesday.
Yeah.
Anyway, I
Sorry, I don't
digress.
feel well.
Nah, it's all good. It's just one of those like it's there. And if I were in my 20s in a different part of my life, and let's say you were like at a wedding weekend or something, you would never do this because you're quite responsible with your health and you don't really like engage in reckless behavior mostly. But if I
It's
was
true.
in a different time of my life, like if I was 24 and I like had some ham hog wedding that I was real excited about and I felt this way, I would be like, I don't give a bleep and bleep and just go to the to the t to town, and then Monday morning I would feel 3x as badly as I was supposed to with this germ because I would have like drank all weekend, not slept, like done terrible things, like reckless things with my body, and I just would have driven my immune system into the
Run in
ground,
high heels, probably roll your
run in
ankle.
high heels, like maybe whatever. So yeah, swam with my like wedding guest dress on or something, who knows. So the point is, now I feel quite responsible because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have some emergency and take a nap. And I'm like, look at me, I'm such a big person, how much I've grown up.
Where's my neti pot?
I don't need that yet. Please, no neti pot. Oh my God, what a strange feeling. Anyways, I digress. It's one of my favorite phrases. I love when people do it because you're essentially acknowledging that whatever just took you down this conversational path fully took you away from the point and you're trying to veer it back, but sometimes it's just what you have to say.
I do feel like that's kind of like my style in general for speaking with someone. Digressions.
Anyways, I digress.
Anyway, I
Look at you
digress.
in your wonderful sunshine sweatshirt. Sunset,
I
sunset,
know. It's like
sunrise.
it's, I guess it's in the eye of the beholder, right?
I guess. Can you just tell me what it is? I don't want to work that hard today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sunset for me because I'm a sunset person, but it's a sunrise likely for you and the people that are eating the worm at 6 a.m. Well, I know, three
I
for you.
know, I
So
know, I know.
dramatic. Yes, but yeah, so no, it's definitely it's the sunset for me, and I think I've chosen this to, kind of spiritually push back on daylight savings time.
Spiritual.
So, yep.
Do you
So
have
thank you. I
like
love
an
this.
do you have like a formulated argument and plan to stand up against daylight saving time? I didn't know if you had like a real thought about
No
this.
formulated argument and plan. I just like feel like immediately dysthymic at like 4:30 when it's like dark outside, and I'm just like, this is terrible. I just don't really like it whatsoever. And it just has like an immediate emotional effect on me. So
Totally. Totally.
pushing
Well,
back against that.
yeah. Well, as you know, I took our three girls to the beach yesterday. I'm trying to do that once a week, kind of in the off
Such a good
season,
idea.
just to like remind
To honor me
ourselves.
at the very least.
Amen. And it was quite jarring. What ended up happening, and by trying to take them once a week, it was my second week in a row doing this habit. But I
That's
did it
right.
last week, and then having been at your house over the weekend, daylight savings happened. Now we're here. So I took them at the same time. It was like the same cadence. Pick them up from school, take them down to the beach, and then all of a sudden it was like dark and cold and like the baby was in a t-shirt. I was like, oh God, the moon was out. So I was like, get everybody
I know.
inside. So it was,
No,
yeah, I was not
it's not
prepared.
healthy.
I was not prepared.
It's very much like a point of contention in our house because, as we have discussed, my husband is very much like a winter spirit and a snow dweller, and so he celebrates daylight savings time with like, noisemakers and pom-poms because it
Yeah.
means winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
And the snow is coming. And
Night
yeah,
skiing with the
and
dad bros.
night skiing with your headlamp and your, reckless behavior to
No
cite what you
one
just said.
loves a headlamp more than your
Yeah, he's got
caffeinated
a headlamp for
giraffe.
many occasions. So, and in the summertime, he has reverse. I think he's got, what is it called in the winter when people feel depressed for the
Seasonal
darkness?
affective disorder.
Yes, yeah, he's got reverse seasonal affective disorder. In the summer when it's hot and he's sweating all the time, he is depressed.
Yeah, like he comes to Southern California and he's like, it's just okay.
Yeah, it's like you've seen one beach, you've seen them all.
Oh, get out of here with that.
I know.
He is a winter spirit.
He is a winter spirit. He is of the winter. He just loves to wear a t-shirt and shorts, just with like a lot of vests and gloves and hats. And like...
It's so true. Yeah, he does have that really specific fashion. I'm not going to call it a fashion sense, because that would imply that he's thought it through intentionally.
Yeah.
It's more of like the layered. As
purely function.
As he gets stressed throughout the day, you can kind of see how his body temperature has changed, but he won't digress. Like, he won't say, well, I put these shorts on before because I was hot, but now I'm cold, so I'm going to take the shorts off and put the pants on. Instead, he just puts the pants on over the shorts.
Or he just puts a hat on. Like a, like a ski hat. I know.
So we were at your house over the weekend, and I had to, one of the more entertaining things I find about children that are in my life, that I love, because I, you know, did my Monday show by myself about how I judge other people's kids. not yours. But one of the things that I love about kids that I know really well, or I know their parents really well, is just, I just cackled in my head about like how I see their parents in them so much. And like your son, your 7-year-old, this weekend, when I had to like halt him going out the door from, as he was trying to jump, like what I swear was two legs into one pant leg while he was wearing shorts. And I was like, dude, stop for a second. Just pause. And like, if you're, it's cold out, but those pants clearly don't have a little wiggle room in there for the shorts you have on. And like, it was just going to be an utter disaster outside. I was like, buddy, hold, pause, take the shorts off, put the pants on, and then you're good to go. Like, instead, you'll be like, and he's like, oh, yeah, okay. But like, it was like a classic, like, your husband move. I was like, this is
I was going to say, that sounds like Eric, not like me. I was like trying to figure out how that was sounding like me, but yeah, no.
It doesn't. It sounds like Eric. It sounds like your husband.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or for example, like he went to the local college basketball game, this week, and I had to like, he had already gotten dressed himself, which I would say it's like 50-50, either I leave something out for him or he just does it himself. And I had specifically left out like his long sleeve shirt to wear to the game
to promote,
but he like didn't see what I put out, or I don't know, just, you know, he wasn't looking, and so he put on his own outfit, and then I just had to like wrestle that man child like to get, I was like, change your shirt, wear your, you know, your university shirt. And he's just like, I already got dressed, why would I do that? And he just like couldn't compute why he would like wear like the school spirit shirt, and then he did eventually acquiesce to my request, but it wasn't, it took some fighting. Whereas I feel like other kids would be like, oh, absolutely, or my daughter would be like, yes, right. Yes,
and while that was his genetic code, your husband's genetic code for the getting dressed portion of the program, the back half genetic code really kicked in for the actual attending of the basketball game at your local university.
Yes, it did. Yes. So he came home at the end of the day, and I was just all like, you know, hyped to hear about how it was a women's basketball game. And I think they bust kids in from all over the place for this game. And so I think he saw a bunch of friends and all that, and then he came home and I was like, how was it awesome? Because I think that was his first official like adult basketball game that he's ever attended, and he says to me, he goes, why does it have to be so loud there? He's like, it was so loud the whole time, it was so long, I was bored. I was just sitting there the whole time. And then at the end, they were playing all these songs and everybody was just standing up and dancing. And I just sat there. And then I said, so you were the only one sitting there and everyone else was dancing to all the music at the arena? And she's like, yeah. And then my friend turned to me at the end of the song and said, dude, you're the master of chill. And he said, no, I'm not. It's just too loud. And this reminds me so much. And I said, buddy, you know what I do when I go to any wedding I attend? I go to the bathroom and stuff a bunch of toilet paper in my ears because it's always too loud on the dance floor. But you know I'll be dancing, but it's too loud. So, yeah, I had to share that, you know, trick of the trade.
Little factoid with him. Little trick of the trade. Yeah, wow. Tell you how many, for the people watching and listening in the pod later, I can't tell you how many events I've been to with Giacco, and she just turns and looks at me, and I am just having a 100 out of 10 gangbusters time. I couldn't be feeling the situation more. And Jack,
probably not feeling your feet a little bit.
Probably not feeling my feet. Probably like, you know, definitely doing some things to my immune system. And Giacco just looks at me and says, it's so loud in here. I'm like, yeah. I'm always like, how are we related? I don't understand.
I know. Eric and I took the best picture of us that we've taken in years at this wedding that I went to a year ago in Baltimore, but it got ruined by the tissue hanging out of my ear. I couldn't use it for the Christmas card. No, it's a great picture. We look amazing. And it could have been like our Christmas card, like couples photo. You know, like we're still hot mom and dad.
Over.
Okay. Well, you're right. I could also just say it was my AirPod.
Yeah.
Jinx. Yeah, so I definitely resonated with him on multiple levels. Too loud, really long and boring.
Okay.
I've had these exact sentiments. I remember it was like a rite of passage for me entering Eric's family to go to a Nebraska football game.
Oh, yeah.
In Virginia, we went.
So excited and to be in Nebraska at Virginia Tech. It was like 08, 09.
Yes. And we spent the whole morning like tailgating and doing and just all this, you know, socializing and running around. And then it was like 3 o'clock and I was like, okay, yeah, ready to go back to the hotel. And then we were walking to the game.
Uh-huh.
I really considered faking a migraine. I was just like, I've had it with this.
Yeah. I remember you texted me and I was like, dude, is it the greatest time? Are you having an awesome time? And you were like, the game hasn't even started yet. And again, I was like, how? You want to switch spots? Sounds like a great time to me.
Yeah,
Well, so we had a wonderful time at your, you know what, the whole point of this first, you know, at 1A of this
we digress
for 13 minutes. The whole 1A of the storytelling was that we were at your home over the weekend for Halloween and I've got to have toilet paper in my ears and my feet hurting. It's so loud. You are a maniac on Halloween. I have never seen you more motivated, more engaged, more pedal to the metal. For the first time, I believe, in my 36 years, went to bed before you.
Yes. Truth. You're right. You know, and I wonder it's because I was, and we're going to have to fact check your storytelling with Dr. Evil, by the way, but it was my second costume where I was bald headed.
Yes. Oh my God. What just happened?
Somebody just sent me balloons. My ears were covered in my Buzz Lightyear outfit.
Yes.
So I had ear protection on.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that was probably it. And my outfit was very comfortable.
Yeah.
I was wearing my green Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
I was running up and down the boulevard like Buzz Lightyear to entertain the people. And they would laugh at me as I was running by like with his like run that he does.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're just doing all those things.
Yeah. We really had a real role reversal. I mean, I'm like engaged, enthusiastic and about it. And you were kind of just like, I am like over this.
Dude, I'm standing in your backyard trying to engage in conversation with somebody. And you blew past me at a Buzz Lightyear speed, grabbed a bag of wrist light up sticks that you crack over your knee and then you wrap and just took off down the street. And I think you were going back to Spook Alley, which is a phenomenal place, by the way, a place in which we started an adult dance party. I really was proud of us in that moment. But you doubled something that would be classically Jamie would be to double back to the dance party, something I did not do. You did it. You grabbed the bag of lit up wristbands and you went back to Spook Alley to keep dancing.
Yeah, I mean, that laser show in Spook Alley was like just really motivating and inspiring me to move and shake my Buzz Lightyear wings. Spacewalk. So I think it's like, I think we should tell people in the chat and all the listeners, like, kind of from your perspective, because for years, this Halloween experience at my house and on my street has been like hyped to you. And this has been like your first time experience firsthand. So maybe like from your perspective, kind of just a retell of like what the actual experience was like
for you. So, you know, I will start with my final thought and it'll make sense to you, which is I definitely think I want to go back next year. So I will like just tell you that it was a success in that perspective. One of the reasons why is because like I had done Good Morning Football in the morning and then flown with our 1.5-year-old and then got there and like did my best, you know, and like I can
I mean, you were trying to make small talk on like hour 20 of being awake.
Yes.
And I would have been with you there having to like go in a corner.
Right. So a time was definitely being had by everybody else. And I actually the FOMO was real. I didn't love like putting the baby down and hearing everybody outside, but that's kind of like where my story picks up. So you live on this wonderful historic boulevard in your town and they shut the street down at 3 p.m. And everyone, what I was describing to people at work was everybody decorates out front. But it's like, it's an original thought. Like they commit to the bit. And frankly, do the realtors like have like a requirement or stipulation that says like you must engage in Halloween?
No, people actually ask me like, does your HOA require that you buy at least 1,000 pieces of candy? Like, there's all these rumors about, like, you know, the requirements and everything. And it's not, any kind of HOA requirement. It's just kind of like this shared but unspoken, like, competition and like assignment, and understood, like, you better show up and like come up with something good for Halloween, you know?
Yeah. And so everybody commits to their bit. And by that, I mean, it's not just, you know, the same old, like, cute pumpkins, cute, there's a haystack over there. No, like, there was a full blown skeleton operating room happening, like, six houses.
Full blown circus.
Full blown circus. No, can we circle back to the operating room and how you said that is like an authentic anesthesia station that was out front?
Yeah. There was an authentic anesthesia cart.
So, yeah. And then there was a whole, Wicked scene. That was the, was a great one.
Yeah, the Brick Road. Yep.
I personally love, like, the inflatables that are, like, coming out of the house. There's, like, an octopus happening.
Oh, there was a whole Beetlejuice one, wasn't it? Or was it Ghostbusters?
Yeah. There was – I love the skeleton where it was the huge skeleton. This guy was, like, 20 feet tall, and then he had all these, like, mini skeletons, like, bowing down to him. That was –
Oh, one house did – they have never done this before. They did the Up house where they put, like, 25,000 balloons off their roof. It looked like the Up house.
Yeah, so it's also not just scary, which I like. It's, like, there is some, like, joy. Joyful Halloween, and you kind of have a joyful Halloween home until your 7-year-old is like, put the scary ones out.
Yeah, he's like, there are houses for babies. I was like, well, the whole month leading up to Halloween, the moms and dads are walking the strollers up and down the boulevard, and they're looking at Bluey and looking at Winnie the Pooh. So but yes, we relented. We put some scaries up, but
it was an incredible time. But, like, not to be forgotten that, like, I went to bed at 8:30 and with my 1.5-year-old and the room that's at the front of your house on the second floor. And when she fell asleep, I was still just kind of laying there, and I peeked out, like, the shade, and it looked like a music festival out there. Thousands of people. Thousands. Yes. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, you actually should be concerned next year when I do return. The Saturday energy will be alive and well. The spirit will be well within me. And, like, I'm putting those kids to bed, and I'm going back out into the music festival. Like, that was a I'm going back to Spook Alley. That was a one-time showing for me. That was a social. I feel really disappointed in myself. And so I can't wait to come back next year and run it back. But truly, your description and the expectation delivered on the Halloween in Boise.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So, but then we left on Sunday.
Yes.
And we headed to the airport. And
I think it's also good to say that we had to continue to reorient your middle child about sneezing in her elbow. She'd forgotten about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely sneezed in my mouth, I feel like, at one point, like, on the airport. So.
And then my father-in-law was walking around here sneezing, and every time he would sneeze, he was like, ugh, Brookie.
So... yeah, kids need to sneeze into their elbows. But then also, you, like, I left your house and I was like, you know what, Jacko did great. However, I know she's really going to want to, like, cocoon now. And I always am very happy for you when you do get to cocoon, because, like, when you put yourself out there, I feel very proud of you. But I also understand what you need on the back end. However, you did not get that, because you ended up in the emergency room, like, an hour after we left.
Oh, I did. I did. And I said, you know, I was in my cocoon, frankly. Oh. You had left. I closed the door. And I turned to my mother-in-law, who is so dear to me, and I was like, I'm going to go upstairs now. I'm going to go upstairs. And she's like, you go.
I'm going to go put the weighted blanket on.
Yeah, I'm going to go get under my weighted blanket, and I'm going to go into my daughter's bottom bunk bed and really create that true cocoon vibe. Nice. And I went in there and just, you know, just closed my eyes, and it was just great. And then I woke up to my phone calling and my husband saying, you know, come out front. You know, we call her Tata, is my mother-in-law. Tata fell, get out here. And she ran out there, and she had fallen, and, you know, walking on the sidewalk, tons of leaves, slippery. You know, my daughter was out there, and, you know, she was just being out there caring for my daughter, because I was upstairs in my cocoon after partying for too hard. And, like, it's my fault. And she just suffered a huge ankle fracture, really, really terrible. So we've just been, you know, in, like, action mode, taking care of her. Went to the emergency room. She has a significant ankle fracture, had to have surgery. Luckily, you know, all has gone as smooth as it could have so far. But, you know, we've just been, everybody's kind of been, like, all hands on deck with, like, making sure she, you know, because, like, she's all of our favorite, you know, mother-in-law type. Even your girls are just, like, so affectionate, have so much affection for her.
Yeah. Well, she's, like, the 3.0.
She's someone who deserves all the affection she receives, because she's just, like, sparkling.
Yeah.
And So anyway, so yeah,
so Tata been, fell, man down, yes, woman down, mm-hmm. and
woman she, down. She had a foot. I can think of football in the way that the foot was floating off the leg, in the way that like when they take the people off the field on the cart.
Well, yeah, like they would have put an air cast on her if it was at a football game, where they're just like, air, hold it all in place until we can get to the ER or the ED and like evaluate what's happening here. Anytime that happens to a guy in the football field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, air cast.
Yeah. We didn't do that, but we got her into where we needed to as quick as possible.
I mean, there were like 17 medical people around. Like,
yes. So, yes.
Yeah. So Tata gets her surgery, or she was in surgery yesterday, I think, because the swelling was so bad. And our parents were still around until today. Did they leave?
Yeah, they left.
Okay, cool.
Today, so but they were around. Yeah.
Okay. So they are also the medical people, right? And you know, our mom says to your son,
Who was like off school yesterday too for election day. So it was like, oh, now we're, there was just like
just around. Yeah. And someone says, oh, we have to say a little prayer for Tata. Now this
mom
made me chuckle because
mom said that. Yeah.
Mom said that, a little prayer for Tata, because I just went in on like the religion thing yesterday with I Used to Hate You Tuesdays with Giselle. So now you're like, you know what's funny about that is your son actually asked you a question after our mom said prayers up for Tata.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wasn't even around. Mom said, I'm going to send up a little prayer for Tata. She's going into surgery. And my son, who's seven, says, a prayer? What's that?
And our Catholic school educated mother was probably like, God.
No, I think she was kind of more just like, you know, she really tries to like respect the boundaries. And, you know, she doesn't want to be too like dogmatic with things. But she was just kind of like, oh, it's just kind of like what Giselle was saying yesterday, like messaging, you know. And I think what she actually said was, you know, it's like a message that you, you know, send somebody who might need it. But she did say you send it up, I think. And so then he responded with, send it up to who?
Nice.
And then she said, well, God. And then he was like, oh. And then I guess the conversation doesn't end because I think he knew to stop talking to her about it. but yeah, it dovetails perfectly with what you all were talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then just, I texted you that thing about prayer. What's that? And it was just like a completely different, like, you know,
it's you and I have mostly aligned, I think, on this avenue of parenting when it comes to like religious conversation, which is probably on the sliding scale of 0 to 10, like maybe in our house, it's like a 1 and I don't know, your house like a 0.
Is it even a 1 for you?
You know, it is, but my oldest, Brooke, has asked more about it. I don't know if it's just because people mention it at school or she just hears the language. And it, so she, I don't shy away from it. I don't say like, you know, don't, nothing. That's nothing. You know, I try to answer it like to the best of my ability, but so it is. And also like, I really have been like, contemplating how to move forth, because what I don't want it to be in our house is believe in nothing, you know, and not have it be even just like a knowledge base. I don't want it to be a zero on the knowledge base scale. What I want it to be is you get to kind of I will help you like explore this, but I'm not going to shut it down. That's why I don't say a zero. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, when people come together and decide to parent together, like hopefully you're having that kind of like conversation about like what it means to you currently and what do you want it to mean for like us, our family, like, and our children. So like,
I
think my, go ahead.
Oh no. I was just going to make a quip about, I dated that person once who was like really, really early.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that
talking about marriage. And I was like, first of all, wow, stop with the intensity. Secondly, he was like, what did he used to say? Like, wait to like be married so it can be like you, me, and Jesus, which there's a lot of marriages that are like that. But like, I don't need the third person in there. Like, that's not, that doesn't interest me.
Yeah, he was really bringing heavy, like, this is going to be like a real like joint experience with the Lord, our marriage. Yeah.
And,
like,
and was bringing in parenting early as it pertains to the Lord and Jesus being involved. And I was like, not that I hadn't really landed on what I have now, but I was like, I am just not prepared to commit to that, to you, to that like level of intensity when it comes to the Lord and Jesus being in my
marriage.
To us
having this conversation.
To the picket fence, to the nothing. Like, take it down. Yes. In fact, you know what? Just take it down and move along with your life. So that.
Because I can do better.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry, friend. So the irony is that person that said that to me was the basis for my, if anybody saw this summer, my blind list and no judgment, I did one of an ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Wrote that same person. And it was like a lot of rap music. So I was like, not sure what the Lord thinks about this. It has nothing to do with nothing. Anyways, I digress. So
you do. Yet again.
I tried. Someone tried to evangelize me on the beach. That was the whole point of the Giselle episode yesterday.
Yeah.
I just had a really fun time with that.
Well, it was an alleged evangelical attempt,
correct? What else could it have been?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Giselle was very gracious. She thought maybe it was just like a friend attempt. But
No. I mean, she said, I'm going to go back to my group. Like, if
Yeah.
No, I was trying to evangelize me.
Okay.
And I really feel like we were playing like verbal ping pong back and forth. And she was like, this is hopeless with this random person. It's just like, will not stop talking.
You were good practice for her.
Yeah. She went back to her group and was like, man, I could not pin down what that person believed in. So I moved on. but you would claim the zero on the parenting religion scale.
You know.
0.5.
Probably. Yeah. I think one is probably more if you want to. Say that
zero is agnostic. Zero is
I think zero is atheist with a capital A.
Okay. Perfect. Agnostic is unknown.
Yeah, you're not willing to commit to the I know for sure that there is no spiritual beings.
Okay.
It's kind of more, it's like more of a pencil commitment.
Zero is capital A. Perfect. Okay, so you're not a zero at your house.
No, I don't, that's not the vibe of the home. It's more like, I think Eric and I both have this idea about like bringing it to you from like an intellect, bringing it up to an intellectual place of like, you know, you need to know this kind of like for cultural references. Yeah. And like most people have this in their life as more of just like more than just like a cultural framework. It's like a large pillar in the framework of like their life. And so like it's good to have an understanding and awareness from a knowledge standpoint, a respect standpoint, but we're certainly not, you know, supplanting like any, you know, formative certainty. Like I think we're going to be more kind of just discussion based about all the different ways that like people talk about like God and spirituality. And you know, I think something, especially because like my husband certainly flies his flag in the more of like the scientific atheist with a lowercase a camp, and you know, he talks a lot about like, you know, where you're born is kind of what brings you, you know, informs you. So like for example, that world religions class like you were telling everybody about yesterday, it's like if you were born in, you know, Iran, this is like a really different like education you get, or you know.
Yeah.
So I think we just come at it from much more of like a religion from like a factual standpoint of like this is part of culture, but we do not reference it from the standpoint of God or Jesus being like a supportive entity with like purpose for you and others in the world. You know, but I think a lot about this because we live in a very red and religiously oriented state, specifically of the Christian and the Mormon variety. Yeah. So I know like this is going to come about.
Yeah, you want them to be informed and educated.
Right. Yeah. So, but it hasn't really come up too much yet, but I know it will. And
so it's, I look at it as like the same way that you were just mentioning, like you want your kid to be able to be in any setting. As a parent, your goal is to have your kid be in a setting where they feel equipped to like hang, to like they they feel knowledgeable and educated. So for example, you know, if you send them off to a fancy dinner at party for the first time ever and they're just like put their napkin like over their shoulder like a do-si-do, and you're like, well, my parents never like taught me what to do with this thing, like what is this, or like they are using their like spoon as like the straw in their water cup and they're like, well, my parents never taught me this. The same could be said for, you know, when I was covering football in the South and you know, we had really unique opportunities to attend dinner parties at athletic directors' houses, like which is like the upper brow of, you know, society in the South. It's like Friday night dinner before a home football game. And did I know to bow my head in prayer, you know, before a dinner in someone's home? Yes, I did. Did I ever really do that as a child? Only on the holidays, you know? So it's like you want to, and I'm glad you have been educated in that. Did I necessarily believe in like the necessity for it? not really, but like I knew what I was doing. So I feel like that's kind of maybe where we land in the scope of religion. Be aware, but it's not necessarily because you have to believe in it.
We last week, a couple weeks ago, we took my son to a soccer game at the local private Catholic high school. Team, one of the team moms got this opportunity for the boys to go be like the ball boys at the soccer game, which was fun. It was cool. Like
that's
to see
really,
these kids.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. But they had him out there and then they all went to like the middle of the field because it was also senior night. And all the boys like got down on one knee and like all the little 7 year olds and 8 year olds got down on one knee and they had their arms around each other and they like were saying like, they said like a Catholic prayer before, but then like it was clear that like the coach and like the players were like, you know, having words in the huddle or whatever. And then so after we were like leaving the game, we're driving home and he was, and I was like, what were they talking about like in the huddle? Like, what was that like, you know, being in there with the, everybody? He's like, I don't know. They were talking about like father, the mother, the goose. And we're like, the goose? And we're like, oh, the ghost.
the Holy Ghost.
The goose. And we're like, what did you do? And he was like, I don't know, I just put my head down. So the father, the mother,
this
the goose.
And the goose. This yeah. is what we're saying.
Yeah. So I know, I think that my Eric and I have sometimes worried that like, you know, we were brought up in a much more kind of like formal church attending ways in our family, like you and me going to mass, Sunday school, like communion, confirmation. My husband grew up in a Methodist church. So like, you know, church on Sunday, et cetera, like obviously like less formal and traditional than Catholicism, but you know, it was part of like the Sunday life. And I think you are informed then about like kind of the values of humanity is kind of where it starts. Like what Giselle was saying yesterday, less about like maybe like the traditional, like God, Jesus, X, Y, Z, but it was more just like be a good human, do good onto others, you know, like service oriented things. And so I think like, that was important and served a good purpose, but now we've talked about how like that's going to be like a deficiency with our kids. And
no,
like
the deficiency is going to be in like the reason why you're doing it. It not you guys are still going to teach it, but like yours is just going to be not taught in like in the scope of religion. Yours is going to be taught in the scope of like, hey, we're going to be good people, period, not for the reasons within the church.
So I guess like then you're putting a lot like then on the parent to like execute and teach these values where maybe people like having a third party there as the structure for those, you know, that teaching. And it's not just because mom and dad say, it's because this third party says, you know, so I think, but then it leaves a lot up to, you know, parenting and family dynamics. And so we have talked about that. It's like, what are we sacrificing because we have decided not to go in this like kind of like just traditional scholastic route, like from a religious standpoint. So
Now, yes, I agree with you on all that. And one thing that I did eventually get to Giselle with yesterday was kind of the reason why, at least more, maybe more so as adults and not as like, from a parenting mechanic, the one of the reasons why I feel so fascinated by people, not by religion, period, by people who are so rooted in a religion. That's what I'm fascinated by.
I think the more articulate way to say that is that you are fascinated by the psychology of like, rote devotion, and that's like cults. That's like when you were like at the Tony Robbins, you know, like brouhaha that she went to, and you said like, "I'm curious about the person." Like you have more of like a fascination with like the like the dedication and like the full fledged belief. And I feel like that. And I was when you guys were talking yesterday, I was thinking about how you love to watch the cult documentaries.
That's really more accurate. Yeah, on any of the streamers, like left to my own devices, I will just write in CULT, and I will just like I want to see what comes up. I want to see what's new. I'm all about it. So I have a memory from when I lived in Boston, and the guy that essentially helped me get my job there had also moved from Minnesota. Older gentleman, not older, older for me when I was in my 20s, had kids. I remember, you know, he's also my boss, so this kind of got weird in and of itself, but I remember he invited me to like a church service on a Sunday. Like I was new to Boston, and I think he recognized that, and I was like, well, I guess I gotta go. He's my boss. Like in hindsight, that's strange. Don't like overlap employment and religion, but fine. But I went, and I just every religious setting I have ever been in, I will sit there and listen attentively, and I will do my best to open my brain. I'm not really a close-minded person. I'm stubborn, but not close-minded. and I will listen. And then once it doesn't hit, then I start to deviate. And I start to look around and I'd be like, so what are you hearing that I'm not? I do not understand it. It just doesn't. I want to know why it resonates. But I think one of the documentaries I've watched in all my times was that I think what it is that people just really feel the desire and the need to belong somewhere, to belong. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to sound out of touch with the way we were brought up or the wonderful support system that you and I even provide each other. Like, period, mm-hmm. end of sentence, I feel like I belong with you. Like, you are mm-hmm. my community. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I nice. Don't Thanks. Seek outside, you know, church doors to go and mm-hmm. be like, I need something. I need someone to tell me right from wrong. I just don't feel like I'm like, I'm good. I don't need that like double clutch, double judgment outside, you know, reinforcement.
Yeah. I mean, I think unfortunately, like there's just been like a confluence of things, like the overlap of like belonging to this community has gone with like this traditional, like dogmatic religious like structure. And that's where I feel like there's more of the downfalls of like organized religion is the where, you know, people are judgmental or there is interpretations of, you know, texts and who's the right, you know, the person to say who's right or wrong about this. And I feel like that's kind of been overarching and taken away from what is the human part of it, which is mm-hmm. the community seeking the, you know, shoulder to shoulder like work that humans crave and like
yeah
and thrive in. So yeah, and I think before when we were much more we were much more of like an isolated people, it was like really the only time for like community and belonging.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I really do like when you were just describing that, I've had this exact feeling myself where you're kind of looking around and you're just in a specifically, I remember this like being in like the Jewish culture, like back east, like in Baltimore, and just like, you know, here, especially like in the Mormon culture, it's just like you kind of look around and it's like this emperor's new clothes, like yeah. when the tailors are like holding up the pieces of invisible garment and they're like, how beautiful, and everyone else is like, oh, it's sparkling, and everyone, you're just like, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah.
It's like, there's nothing there. Is yeah. that, wait, what? Yeah. Is there something there?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, so. Totally. Now,
but
yes, I do think,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to put a bow on it and just say like, I also accept the fact that people probably look at me the same way that like, how can you possibly care about something like football as much as you do? Mm-hmm. And
right.
that's how I feel about religion. And so I try not to bestow judgment on it. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. I'm open-minded to it, but you'll lose me on trying to convince me to come with mm-hmm. you.
I know you want to put a bow on it, but I just thought of somebody in our life, your nanny from
Columbia.
Yeah.
I referenced her yesterday.
Minneapolis. Yeah.
Oh, in Minneapolis. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So I was talking about Cammie yesterday, and actually she has been a good resource of knowledge base for the girls in her, you know, walk in her church. But also our first nanny in Minnesota, yes, she'll remain nameless just for out of respect, or I don't know if she wants to, you know, be kind of brought into this. But wow, she was with it. She mm-hmm. was with the G-O-D. She was mm-hmm. she was walking with him, capital H.
But like later in life, though.
Yeah, she was. Man, I totally forgot about her. Just in
and
that,
I remember
in that
she and I had some like good conversations. Just very lighthearted, but I was just like purely want to like know about like the journey you took and how
I was
her opinion.
You probably remember these conversations better than me.
Her opinion was like, I just believe people who are not saved and accepted Jesus into their heart just haven't gotten there yet. Like she really believed that I was ignorant to the eventual destination of like Jesus Christ as my savior, and like she was sure of that. And
you know what, you know, that is what she believed, yes. And mm-hmm. what I will say about her was, again, shout out to her for feeling mm-hmm. this way, and like mm-hmm. even the way you just described it, the tone of voice that you had, that is how mm-hmm. she was fully working with a family that there was like zero baptisms, there was zero mm-hmm. church attendance, there was mm-hmm. zero married in the church, there was zero mm-hmm. this child is a blessing unto us, there was none of mm-hmm. that. And she still showed up and like didn't hold that against us, you know.
Right.
Like there was
but
no.
She still said, "You just don't know yet," and that was kind of annoying.
Oh, she never said that to me. That's strange. That's so funny.
Okay.
You just don't know yet.
But yeah, I mean, it's certainly like I think you and I are in the minority, though.
I do too. And I think being in sports and athletics has really opened my eyes to that, of just like, wow, people. I think they love, you know, they love a person to talk to. They love, as Giselle put it yesterday, like a source of external strength and a presence that they know is ever present. Maybe they feel like in their life people can come and go, but you know, whatever entity that they want to serve and put centered in their life, that that's ever present for them. And I just like don't feel fulfilled by that in my heart.
Yeah.
I don't, I teeter on saying like, I don't need that, but like, that's kind of how I feel about it. That's not what fills my spirit, but you know what? Maybe we just don't know yet.
We just don't know yet. Yet. The magical parenting word.
What did I say? I just don't know yet.
I will say this though. I am fully committed to all the teachings. You want to go to the temple, you want to go to this, I will be there. I would love to learn more.
Yep.
You know, but if you're going to identify as a cat, I'm not going to make the school get you a litter box. And have you heard about this?
Show. Yes, it is. Girl, can of worms.
I digress. I'm not
touching it. Yeah, that was the ultimate. I'm going to put my hood back up for that one. Not really a cat person here on No Break, so let's avoid that with a 10-foot pole. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. Yeah, wow, you really did just digress. That was perfect. Well done. Well, we didn't really answer a prayer. What's that? I think it's just someone to talk to. I did, last thought, truly. I did appreciate what Giselle was saying, and I think I may consider adopting this, which is like how to get more thoughts and out loud verbal of gratitude into the life, into just like, what are we grateful for at the dinner table? And not like in a, say what you're grateful for. Like, I can't stand that. But like, just maybe you and I try to do this, like just leading by example, me having it more in my language. And
I think, do you want to tell me what, you want me to tell you what we do?
I think I know, but yes, please tell.
Okay. We just like all hold hands. And one of us says, we are thankful for this food. We are thankful for this family. We are thankful for this warm, safe home. And then each have to go and say something thankful that we're thankful for from that day. And that's that gives it, just kind of try to make some, infuse some messaging passively / actively.
Can you text that to me?
Sure. I'll put it on orange and toss it over there.
The talking orange. Thank you very much. Well, shout out to Tata. Great. Just like strong thoughts in her recovery.
Yeah.
And sounds like she's going to be about vibes. 20 feet from you in the future tapings of No Breaks.
She's right over there right now.
We love you, Tata. All right.
Practitioner. Yeah. Treatment facility open. I told my husband he's the bedpan cleaner.
Oh, yeah. And scooter mechanic for the, yeah, scooter for the mechanic. Disabled. For the disabled. That was it. No Breaks with Jamie Erdahl on Wednesday. Talk to you in 3 minutes. Love you. Love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it.